It was beginning to dawn on her that being a queen was a whole new life. "My word," she said, "and what happens now?"
"Dunno, mum."
"What's the king doing?"
"Oh, he had breakfast early and buggered off over to Slice to show old Mucklow how to breed his pigs out of a book."
So what do I do? What's my job?" Milly looked puzzled, although this did not involve much of a change in her general expression.
"Dunno, mum. Reigning, I suppose. Walking around in the garden, holding court, doing tapestry, that's very popular among young queens, and then, later on there's the royal succession."
"At the moment," said Magrat firmly, "we'll have a go at the tapestry." Ridcully was having difficulty with the librarian.
"I happen to be your arch-chancellor, sir."
"Ooh.
You'll like it up there. Fresh air, bags of trees, more woods than you can shake a stick at."
"Ooh.
Come down this minute."
"Ooh.
The books will be quite safe here during the holidays. Good grief, it's hard enough to get students to come in here at the best of times."
"Ooh."
Ridcully glared at the librarian, who was hanging by his toes from the top shelf of Parazoology BA to MN.
"Oh, well," he said, his voice suddenly low and cunning, "it's a great shame in the circumstances. They've got a pretty good library in Lancre Castle, I heard. Well, they call it a library. It's just a lot of old books. Never had a catalogue near 'em, apparently."
"Ooh. Thousands of books. Someone told me there's incunables, too. Shame, really, you not wanting to see them."
Ridcully's voice could have greased axles.
"Ooh. But I can see your mind is quite made up, so I shall be going. Farewell."
Ridcully paused outside the library door, counting under his breath. He'd reached three when the librarian knuckled through at high speed, caught by the incunables.
"So that'll be four tickets, then?" said Ridcully.
Granny Weatherwax set about finding out what had been happening around the stones in her own distinctive way. People underestimate bees. Granny Weatherwax didn't. She had half a dozen hives of them, and knew, for example, there is no such creature as an individual bee. But there is such a creature as a swarm, whose component cells are just a bit more mobile than those of, say, the common whelk. Swarms see everything and sense a lot more, and they can remember things for years, although their memory tends to be external and built out of wax. A honeycomb is a hive's memory. The placement of egg cells, pollen cells, queen cells, honey cells, different types of honey, are all part of the memory array. And then there are the big fat drones. People think all they do is hang around the hive all year, waiting for those few brief moments when the queen even notices their existence, but that doesn't explain why they've got more sense organs than the roof of the CIA building. Granny didn't really keep bees. She took some old wax every year for candles and the occasional pound of honey that the hives felt they could spare, but mainly, she had them for someone to talk to. For the first time since she'd returned home, she went to the hives and stared. Bees were boiling out of the entrances. The thrum of wings filled the normally calm little patch behind the raspberry bushes. Brown bodies zipped through the air like horizontal hail. She wished she knew why. Bees were her one failure. There wasn't a mind in Lancre she couldn't borrow. She could even see the world through the eyes of earthworms. It was largely dark. But a swarm, a mind made up of thousands of mobile parts, was beyond her. It was the toughest test of all. She'd tried over and over again to ride on one, to see the world through 10,000 pairs of multifaceted eyes all at once, and all she'd ever got was a migraine and an inclination to make love to flowers. But you could tell a lot from just watching bees, the activity, the direction, the way the guard bees acted. They were acting extremely worried. So she went for a lie down, as only Granny Weatherwax knew how. Nanny Ogg tried a different way, which didn't have much to do with witchcraft, but did have a lot to do with her general oggishness. She sat for a while in her spotless kitchen, drinking rum and smoking her foul pipe, and staring at the paintings on the wall. They had been done by her youngest grandchildren in a dozen shades of mud, most of them of blobby stick figures with the word Gran blobbily blobbed in underneath in muddy blobby letters. In front of